CoOptimus.com presents the CoOptiCast.
Hi, and we're back with a, the first CoOptiCast in a while, starring me and Nick. Last time, there was a PAX roundup, and you got pretty much the entire CoOptiCast, or CoOptimus staff, chatting about stuff, and this week we are going to get back to the normal schedule and give you the latest co-op news and all the fun stuff you've come to expect from Nick and I. So let's start out with what you've been playing. Nick, I'm jealous of you. Tell them why.
Because I've been playing Halo 3 ODST.
I hate you.
And I've rather been enjoying it. And in fact, we'll talk in depth about it later on when we have a review in this podcast of it.
You're right, we will.
Otherwise, I've been playing Need for Speed Shift. And I've actually, I get in these moods where I really like car games. And so Need for Speed Shift kind of took that void for me. And I know Forza 3 is coming out soon, but I think I'll probably be sick of car games by the time that hits. Another one I've been playing, too, is Darkest of Days on the PC, which is that game where you play a time-traveling guy that from the future. You kind of go to different scenarios, layers like the Civil War, World War I, the Roman Empire. It's okay. It's a good game to show off your PC because it has a lot of pretty graphical effects and physics effects and stuff like that. Gameplay is just kind of... It's a shooter. There's not much more to say about it.
I've heard the plot of that game pretty much entails some dude grabbing you out of Custer's Last Stand and saying, "You shouldn't be here. Let me give you Space Marine gear and a machine gun. Now go mow down Roman centurions."
Well, yeah, it's kind of interesting because that's how the game starts out. They're like, "No, you shouldn't die here," and guy grabs you and it sucks you into the future. And then you kind of, it's a little open-ended, actually. You get to pick what missions you want to go to. And you do use the weapons for that time period at first. But what's neat is there's an upgrade system. So even though you're using, a flintlock rifle... you can upgrade the accuracy on it and the speed of which you reload and stuff like that as you complete the missions in that time period. But then there's always like this one scenario, it seems, in it where they're like, okay, here, have this super shotgun that fires, 50 rounds in 30 seconds and go mow down that entire army. And you do. And it's satisfying.
Silly.
It's satisfying, but it's also like kind of I feel bad for doing it. It was Gettysburg or some Civil War battle, and the Confederate troops are coming out of the cornfields, and I just had this machine gun thing and just mowing them down. And then there's another one. It's in World War I, and the Germans are assaulting this bunkers, and you get this like artillery gun, literally fires these big shells into the sky, and they come down like meteorites, and are just blowing these guys apart. And you're like, that's not fair.
Yeah, it doesn't sound fair, but it also sounds pretty much like every conversation I had as, 10 to 12-year-old, where I sit around with my buddies and like, man, what if, you went back in time, but you brought, a machine gun back to the Middle Ages?
Somebody had a good comparison of it and said, it's like the first-person version of Civilization. Right, if you ever played Civ, you get pretty far in advance of one nation. You're fighting guys with spears, and you've got a tank. It's like, okay,
yeah, that's a good point. Fair comparison.
So, and then finally, last game I've been playing is Buccaneer: Pursuit of Infamy, and it's a little indie game that's just basically the ship combat from if you ever played the Pirates games. That's kind of what it feels like. But it has some unique missions and stuff to it, so it's got co-op.
It does. Well, I guess that's all you've been playing.
That's it. I've been busy.
Yeah, same here. But since we last spoke a month ago, I've wrapped up Batman: Arkham Asylum, which is awesome. And if you haven't played it yet, you really should. If, you know, length issues are something you care about, rent it, Gamefly it, get it somehow, because it's a game that deserves to be played, even if you don't like Batman. But I think you will like Batman by the time you're done with it. I also played all the way through Halo 3 on co-op with Jason, because he hadn't played it, and he missed the co-op night, and he picked it up the next day and said, hey, let's play. So I ran him through, got him some skulls, and we had a good time when we weren't shanking each other in the back. Because, you know...
You have to do that, yeah.
You know, you got me killed last time, so I'm just going to give you a love tap. Oh, I killed you, I'm sorry. You know, oh, you were carrying a rocket launcher, and now you have the assault rifle. Ah, sorry, man. It happens. Weird game, right? I also played a bit of Buccaneer Pursuit of Infamy with Nick. It's pretty fun, although we did find out that we don't know how to play it very well.
Yeah, we got our asses kicked.
So that was it's pretty fun, and you know, with the new knowledge we have about it, you know, maybe we'll be a little bit more successful. I've also been playing Scribblenauts, which is really fun, but it's I don't know, it's not as much fun as you think it would be, because the puzzle mode is pretty vague, and while you can accomplish things in certain ways, sometimes it gets weird about it, and I don't know, but I'm putting emotion towards this having the greatest title screen of any game ever, because the title screen for this game is just your character on any number of backdrops which you can select, and you can just create all kinds of crap. You can you just play around. It's a total sandbox mode, so you can have, you know, Satan and God duke it out and let the winner, you know, fight a zombie Tyrannosaurus. And it's crazy. And I recommend that more than the actual game, because there's some severe control issues. But, man, is it fun. It's still worth picking up, but I don't know. Maybe they should, you know, think about using button inputs next time for moving your character around. I've also been playing Shadow Complex. I'm pretty far in at this point. I play it in fits and starts. I don't know. I don't find myself getting frustrated so much as bored. I want to play Super Metroid every time I play it, and then I usually just go back and play Super Metroid. So, you know, great game, but it wears its influences on its sleeve perhaps a little too much. So that's what we've been playing. So let's move on to This Week in Co-op. My personal favorite story of the week is that Iggy Pop is going to be in Lego Rock Band, because the world was clamoring for Iggy Pop. And, you know, that's cool and all, but they also announced that all of the songs in the game are going to be exportable into other versions of Rock Band, which means I can play the Final Countdown with my Rock Band 2 characters.
And have it stuck in your head for like a month.
And you know what? I don't care, because that song is amazing. We played it at my wedding reception. Yep. It was great. Spelunker HD is coming to the U.S. with 6-player online co-op. And hopefully it won't be as excruciatingly difficult as the original Spelunker.
Yeah, you know, after we had talked, I had started to look to see, because it is out in Japan. It has been out in Japan for a while, actually. I was trying to see if I could find any like reviews of it or anything, and there's not much out there, so I don't know if it's, you know, what the deal is.
Yeah, well, I think we were talking about this offline, but it was, you know, Spelunker is one of the NES port in particular is legendary in Japan for just being crap. You know, it says nothing about the Atari version or any of the other ones, but specifically the NES one. And it's kind of the, if you're a collector that collects kind of the crappy games, like, you know, the One Chanbara and all that kind of stuff, you're going to have a Famicom copy of Spelunker. You know, this is just crap video game knowledge that I have in my head taking up space.
Hey, I'm a big fan of like the crappy games. A buddy of mine, we used to go to EB and hit up the 99 cent bargain PC game bin like every couple weeks and like find the worst possible game and go back and just have a good time with it for a couple hours.
You know, I'm kind of a fan of crappy old games too, but a few friends of mine think that that's kind of stretched over into why I like 50 cent so much. I keep telling them they're wrong, but you know,
we still got to finish our second playthrough of that.
I know, but people gotta hate, man. I don't get it. Anywho, we erroneously reported that Trine finally arrived on PSN, and then we found out it was only in Europe.
Sad.
But, you know, at least someone released it. But the unfortunate knowledge with that news came that the Xbox Live version might be in trouble.
Yeah, the rumored, not rumored, maybe coming, not coming version might not be coming again.
Yeah.
I hope that's clear to everybody.
Hopefully it comes, because it's awesome and everyone needs to play it, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know. I'd love for it to come out on PSN here. And
I don't understand that at all. Like, it's not a translation issue. Right, it's still in English.
I guess it wasn't passing cert. Like, they kept kicking it back with bugs, which is kind of weird, because the
Europe has a lower level of standards?
I don't know, man. And the PC version, you know, didn't have any problems when I played it.
Well, there was one really big bug that we reported. Do you remember that article?
Well, the cheat code.
Yeah, the increase your volume cheat code that actually... That was really annoying. I never finished it because of that, because I basically would have had to start the whole game over again. So...
Yeah, but still, if we figured out what it was by unscientific exploration, you'd think they'd be able to fix that pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully it'll come soon, but we gotta wait a little while longer. In the meantime, play it on the PC, if you want.
Yeah, it just came out in retail as well, so if you were anti-digital download, you can go pick it up at, you know, Target and everything else.
Yeah. We had kind of an interesting story in that there was a device called the Spawn Labs HD 720, which purports to let you magically beam your console's video output across the interwebs, and I believe it allowed you to, you know, hook a controller through it and, you know, kind of fake playing couch co-op with a buddy.
Yeah, it said that... you could play it with, like, any PC, you know, over the internet, and then someone could technically be locally as well and be playing it, too. No, not going to happen. I don't care
what... Yeah, well, the thing is, it says it requires, you know, a 2-megabit internet connection, and, well, in areas such as where I live, the D.C. area, that's actually... It's almost impossible to get internet that isn't faster than that. The broadband penetration in this country is not as good as it should be, and a good portion of people don't have access to that. They're still on, like, 1 megabit DSL connections or something like that.
Yeah, but bandwidth, I don't think, is the issue here as much as latency is. I mean, you need to have ping time, consistent ping times, you know, 20 milliseconds or less. I mean, even that for, you know, Twitch gaming, something like a first-person shooter is, you're going to feel that. So, I don't know. I don't see it happening.
I don't know either, but the discussion that came up about this kind of sparked talking about OnLive, which is kind of, you know, it's a central thing that lets you more or less do the same thing this is saying, but the same issues would occur.
Yeah, when I see OnLive, it reminds me of Phantom.
Yeah.
Really, so I get the Phantom
OnLive
vibe.
OnLive is actually coming.
We'll see if it actually makes it to a production state anywhere past the beta. I mean, I don't know. They say they have all this proprietary technology and all these ISPs on board to make it happen, but when you get it out there in the real world, on the real inner tubes with all the stuff clogging it, you know, it's just... To have it reliable and consistent, I think, you know, you might have that 10 or 15 minutes where it does work, but it's the half hour or whatever where it doesn't work like it should. It just, it's going to get frustrating, and people aren't going to want to pay for that if it's not consistent.
Well, it's like, you know, you can do a test at home. I'll be playing World of Warcraft or something on my PC, and my wife will want to do Netflix streaming on the 360.
Yeah.
And, you know, the two apps pretty much fight each other for the bandwidth. So sometimes, you know, my, you know, ping times in WoW will go through the roof, and sometimes the HD signal coming through Netflix drops down to one bar and is like YouTube blown up on an HD TV.
Right.
Yeah, it's not something anybody wants.
Even with, you know, routers, the smart routers and stuff that have packet prioritization and things like that, it's really tough to keep it consistent. I just, like I said, I think it's a pipe dream in our current infrastructure here in America anyway. Like, countries like Denmark and Japan where, like, you know, they have like 30, 40 megabit connections and it's all fiber optic, so it's really low latency stuff. Like, yeah maybe. But maybe. Here, it's going to be limited to some metropolitan areas, and that's about it, I think.
You know, we'll see.
Yeah.
I don't have much faith in anything like that, but, you know, people are trying.
Hey, I would love to be wrong.
Yeah.
I would love to be wrong with it, but we'll see.
Dave Perry would love to prove you wrong with, you know, his thing.
Yeah, he's got another one of those too, huh?
It's called Gaikai, I believe. It lets you play World of Warcraft. You know, because the system requirements for that game are so terribly high.
What was his game with the little baby angel thing?
Messiah. That was a cool game.
It was. That was his last game he really made, wasn't it?
Did that come out before MDK2?
No, I think it was after.
BioWare made that, so it doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Skate 3 got announced, and to our surprise, really, they announced that there's a co-op mode.
Yeah.
You know, it lets you create a team of skaters.
I can't remember what they called it. They had a name for it. It's like Skate Group or something, you know, a little buzzword. But I guess it sounds pretty interesting because, like, you can actually... Someone was saying that you'll be able to, like, in some of, like, the skate park modes, you'll be able to set up stuff as well. Like, so, like, you can... You know, your skate group can make their own custom skate park or whatever and kind of...
That'd be pretty rad.
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds kind of interesting, and I guess there's going to be specific challenges that, you know... I'm guessing it's going to be more, like, Burnout style of co-op where... You know, you might have to both perform tricks at the same time, and, you know, the group time for races or whatever has to be under a certain thing, and stuff like that.
Yeah. You know what else would be pretty rad? Is if my upstairs neighbor would stop vacuuming right above my head. I don't know if you can hear it, but my waveform's going nuts. Skate 3 sounds pretty cool. One thing that... has just come to our attention recently is that Direct to Drive is 5 years old now.
I was like, holy crap.
Yeah. You know, I've used it pretty much since it came out, and I think the first game I ever bought over it was the original Fear. So that's about right, I think.
Yeah, that's probably.
So I must have been using it since close to the beginning, but they're having a... Since they're turning five, they're having a $5 game sale. And they're doing theme weeks, essentially. They just wrapped up an action week. The RPG week is coming. So a lot of these deals, you know, it looks like they're letting them go a couple days into when they announce the new week. But the last big one had a bunch of co-op titles in it. Saints Row 2, Serious Sam Gold, Gra 2, Ace of the Galaxy, Salt Heroes, and Splinter Cell Chaos Theory, which, you know, if you want to get any of those for $5, pretend that you have already heard this podcast and go buy them, because $5, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
They also have a whole bunch of other stuff like Civ 4 and BioShock.
Yeah, it's some pretty decent games on there for $5.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Yeah, I think they had Dark Athena, Call of Juarez, the third Thief game, Max Payne 2, all for $5. There's some good games in there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what they have this week on it, because I'm itching for an RPG to hold me over to Dragon Age.
Yeah, well, I forgot to mention I started replaying The Witcher. I think you should definitely get into that.
Yeah,
it's like, so good.
I picked up the Super Special Edition before I got my new PC, and I started playing it.
It's really pretty, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
We got some quick mentions here for news. Star Trek DAC, DAC, I don't remember what we decided to call it, but it's coming to PSN and PC, so...
Look out. Avoid it.
Misery loves company, apparently.
Don't be fooled.
if you, like our very own Nick Paleo, covet the Zune HD...
Oh.
Yeah, you hear that? That's the sound of a nerd in love. You can get it engraved with imagery from Halo 3 ODST and a bunch of other Microsoft co-op games, such as Fable 2, Crackdown, Gears of War 2, Lips, and Halo Wars.
The Crackdown 2 one's pretty nice looking, actually.
Like yeah, it's really cool, and if you want the Zune HD, all the reviews I've read of it say it is a phenomenal piece of hardware, so
yeah.
You know, check it out. It's going to play games down the line. I think it supports some now, but I think it's supporting like 3D games and all kinds of cool stuff later.
Yeah, the engraving and stuff, too, is free. Like, you have to pay retail, like the MSRP through the site.
So for what, $249?
It's $219 is the 16 gig, and $249 or $259 is the 32.
Ah.
So, yeah.
I guess we'll see. Maybe someone on our forums will buy one and show us what they look like, because they sound cool.
Yeah.
Uncharted 2, if you pre-ordered it, I don't remember through who, but if you pre-ordered it, the new multiplayer beta came out, and it contains the Gold Rush co-op mode that we reported on a while ago, and Nick's played it, and I'm pretty sure he gave it a thumbs up.
Yeah, we posted some video of it, and I gave my impressions, and it's fun. It's a nice little twist to the horde / survival modes that we've been seeing.
Yeah.
It's basically a horde mixed with like a capture the flag kind of a thing.
Red Alert 3 Commander's Challenge came out, which is a mode that was for... Let me back up. It came out for the download services, Xbox Live and PSN, correct?
Yep.
Yes. So, this was part of the Red Alert 3 Uprising expansion for the PC version. And, well, everything we knew about Red Alert 3 says co-op, co-op, co-op. And so we reported on this. It said, buy this co-op game. And then it came out and we realized... there's no co-op in it.
Well, it wasn't even us. The actual official game page on Xbox.com had the co-op listed, which was why we...
Pass the buck. See how it is.
Exactly. It's not our fault.
Oh, it's Microsoft's fault.
Exactly.
Blame them. And we'll wrap things up with a rumor. Crash Course, the new Left 4 Dead campaign, it might come out on the 23rd.
And if it does, you get to play with Paramore. Ooh.
And that might be a reason to wait, because Paramore is a horrible band. However, Crash Course, new Left 4 Dead content, more playing as Bill and staring at Zoe's butt. At least that's what I hear. So anyway, after that awkwardness, we're going to take a little break, and we will come back with a review of Halo 3 ODST.
Hey, this is Nolan North. Make sure to listen to In-Game Chat every week and check them out at ingamechat.net or visit their forums at colonyofgamers.com. These guys rock.
Okay, we're back, and Nick has been chomping at the bit to talk about Halo 3 ODST, so I'm going to sit back and let him review it, and hopefully my seething jealousy will come through the recording, and you'll be able to feel... as I have felt since last Thursday when Nick said, "Ooh, Halo 3 ODST arrived. I think I'll play it."
you got to keep me honest on time here. Don't let me ramble over 5 minutes.
I might cut you off. We'll see.
All right.
If it's interesting, I'll let you keep talking.
Okay.
Okay.
Buy it. That's it? That's a review? No.
Congratulations. A new low.
No. It's definitely going to be... I was actually really anxious to see what the reviews were going to be like, because I had a hard time coming up with a score, because I admitted right from the get-go, I'm a Halo fan. I've been a Halo fan for a while, and I tried not to let that seep into the review. I wanted it to... be as pure as possible, but the game is made for fans of the Halo series. Like, that's what it's about, you know? So, the basics of it are, the campaign, everyone was kind of worried about, oh, it's only gonna, originally it was only supposed to be like a 2 or 3 hour campaign. I played it on Heroic by myself. It took me about 7 hours or so. There was two times that I kind of got stuck and repeatedly died. So, co-op though, you're definitely going to be able to make it through it a lot faster because of the respawn mechanic. You won't be as frustrated. So the big change is the new Mombasa city is kind of like a hub world into all the little submissions. So you play the role as the rookie, and that was kind of the biggest change, I think, for Bungie in terms of like storytelling, in that you didn't have like a strong central character, and that actually the strong characters are the support characters in the game. So you as the rookie, who never really even says or establishes himself as anything, you get dropped into New Mombasa, and as you guys are dropping in, which is really one of those gorgeous things I've seen in a while in games, you're dropping onto Earth, one of the Covenant dropships goes into slipspace, or whatever they call it, slipspace, whatever they call it. It jumps. It rips a big hole in the sky, and the ODSTs get scattered throughout the city. So the whole story is you finding clues as to what the other ODSTs are doing to meet back up and do something. I don't want to spoil it. Gameplay is very familiar, yet very different, because, yeah, it's all the same enemies you're used to, a lot of the same guns and stuff, but there's no radar, and there's no shields. Instead, there's kind of this hybrid system where you have, I think they call it stamina, which basically means if you're doing a lot of shooting and a lot of moving, and you start taking hits, you're going to lose health like almost immediately. But if you're kind of just in cover, you won't lose that health right away. It kind of depletes at you a little bit. So it's kind of like a little hybrid system. And then, like I said, there is health now, which there's med kits and med kit stations all over the place. So there's really never a time I found that I was like, oh, crap, I cannot find any health. So instead of the radar now, you have the visor. And the visor is night vision / enemy object awareness. So objects like weapons and health will be like blue, enemies will be red, friendlies will be green, vehicles I think were green, and stuff like that. They kind of like outline them in this nice little effect.
So does it look kind of like Ghost Recon then?
It does. It does a little bit look like Ghost Recon. Except that, I mean, even the environment gets the lines, like the trees and cover has yellow outlines and stuff to it. You'll really be using that mostly as the rookie in the New Mombasa section. So the really cool thing, the thing that surprised me about it, and this is the Halo geek in me that I really liked, was you'll find these terminals throughout the city that have audio logs in them of the story of this girl and the attack that the Covenant started. Basically, it starts right when the Covenant starts the attack, and she's doing something. Again, I don't want to spoil this, but she's doing something, and she's trying to find her father, and the city is doing something, and I know I'm being really vague, but
That sounds suspiciously like the I Love Bees campaign.
It's exactly like, and that's, I wrote that in my review. You get that vibe from it. Even like the quality and the way the acting is, and there's something that really ties it together with the I Love Bees stuff that make it, and even in the story of ODST, it really ties it to that. It's really cool.
I've heard rumor that they actually brought the people that did I Love Bees in to create some stuff for this.
Well, it might be the audio log stuff then, for sure. I only got through half of them, unfortunately. I only found 15 of them, because so they're kind of like the hidden sub thing in the game. There's 30 of them. I found half of them, and that was what really got me hooked on the game. So the rest of the time, you're finding these little artifacts, like you'll find like a remote detonator, which when you pick it up and you look at it, it flashes back to one of the ODSTs that they had to blow a bridge. That was like the scenario. The detonator was to blow the bridge up. You literally, like, when you jump into that scenario, you're like almost already in the action. So it's quick action kind of stuff. The sub scenarios usually take like, I don't know, 40 minutes each, 30 to 40 minutes, even that. And they're the more variety kind of locations. The one took place in like a zoo or a nature reserve. So it was kind of more outdoorsy. You got the warthog, you drove around. There's some where you work your way up like big tall buildings. There's one that's really cool that you're literally on top of buildings going across like construction beams and stuff like that. You can risk falling down. There's a... The sub-scenarios are really good, and they're really well told and voice-acted by basically an all-star geek cast of members of Firefly and also Trisha Helfer from Battlestar Galactica. So you have that whole thing. I guess it really almost surprised me because, you know, when they originally said that it was going to be such a short game, there's really a lot there now. I will say, at the end, the final mission, there's a lot of cookie-cutter kind of stuff, which everyone always rags on Bungie about. It was basically like, oh, you got to go down X amount of levels, and every level looked exactly the same.
Well, you know, every Halo game has to have its library.
Yeah, I mean, that's what people have been saying. I guess even the City of New Mombasa is kind of cookie-cutter-ish. You don't really... Everything kind of looks the same anyway, but it doesn't really matter so much. So, like, the other point, the downsides that I saw to it were Bungie had said that it's more open world, right? So you could find these things in that in the city and do it kind of how you wanted. But initially, you're kind of blocked off. The superintendent, which is the AI that runs the city, kind of guides you to where he wants you to go. The signs flash things like, go right. Things like that, and like there'll be doors that are locked and stuff like that. It works its way into the story, and it kind of makes sense at the end.
Do you have any final thoughts, Nick? I've let you go for 7 minutes now.
Holy moly. Okay, so quick and the dirty. like I said, Halo fans, I think you'll enjoy it. If you haven't followed the series and stuff, shame on you. Pick up the other ones and then play this one. The downside I had, especially reviewing it before everyone kind of got their copy, the no matchmaking for co-op was brutal. I had a hard time finding people to play with. I had to use my gamer cards, who's playing what now kind of thing. If you ever use their site, they have a... You can go on there, and if you remember, you can see who's playing the games. So I found some people through that, and I played some split screen with the wife for a little bit, who is not a first-person shooter gamer, so that really didn't work. Firefight mode is a lot of fun. There's 10 maps in it, though two of them are basically repeats, light and dark versions of it.
One's meant to be done in ODST vision, then.
Yeah, basically. What's really cool about that one, though, or about Firefight, is you can actually do it solo if you want, but you get your butt kicked. But it's still kind of a fun little challenge to do.
Can't you do Horde mode solo?
I don't think you can. I don't know.
Thought you could. Oh well. But that's enough about ODST, because everyone's going to have it in their hot little hands probably right after this podcast goes up.
So. Yeah, exactly.
They're going to.
You could call me a filthy liar then.
I could listen to the Co-opticast, or I could play ODST. I wonder what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Listen to the Co-opticast while playing ODST is the correct answer. You know, you don't need an all-star cast telling you what happened. You want to hear us tell it like it is. Anywho, that's bringing us to the final segment of a Co-opticast, where we tell you what's coming out. It's the fall season, so a lot's coming out, though we haven't hit the full brunt of release season yet. But obviously, on the 22nd, we have Halo 3 ODST for, you guessed it, the Xbox 360. Then on the 23rd and then on the 24th, Zombie Apocalypse for XBLA and PSN comes out. And then on the 29th, there's a trifecta of Wii co-op releases in Dead Space Extraction, Spyborgs, and Valhalla Knights Eldar Saga. And great. Dead Space Extraction looks really great, but like an idiot, I gave my Wii away earlier this year, so I can't play it, so I'm going to have to depend on someone else to tell me how it is, or maybe invite me to play it.
There you go.
We'll see. Because, you know, I love me some light gun shooters. As a loyal listener of the Co-opticast, and we assume a reader of co-optimist.com, you know that we have reviews and features all the time, and they're great. So let me tell you about a couple. We reviewed Invincible Tiger, The Legend of Han Tao for the download services, and it's pretty good. Not the best, but it's pretty good. Following that up, we reviewed Raven Squad, which I believe
is pretty Nick bad.
Wanted to, you know, jump off a building afterwards, but don't let that stop you. You might like it. And by the time this comes out, you'll have already read the Halo 3 ODST review in its text form, and you'll probably see a very large forum discussion about it, because there were already 12 replies to it when I checked right after it was posted, so it's probably going to go places. We'll find out. As for features, there was another Battlefield report, thanks to Jim. He talks about the art of the kill streak in Call of Duty 4. Everybody who went to PAX sorted out the swag they got and talked about the cool stuff they did there and how much swine flu they brought back and subsequently spread to everyone else.
Except
the Paleo household.
I still love Josh, DJ Sandman from COG. He said, swine flu is possibly the worst swag ever. It was a good one.
There was another co-op casual Friday about X-Men Legends 2, which is a really fun game. I enjoyed that. And everybody who went to PAX, you know what, they kicked all sorts of ass and put out the most PAX coverage of pretty much any site I read. Word. Which is pretty shocking, because some of the bigger sites were there covering it, but you know, we had a lot of great interviews and a lot of quality posting by our staff, so gotta give them props.
Yeah, and I think we put out, I'm gonna look real quick, yeah, we put out 70 articles on PAX.
Yeah. You know, some people do 70 articles on E3. We do 70 articles on PAX, because you know what? That's where the fun is.
There was a lot of games at PAX this year. It was It was overwhelming.
I bet. But at least, you know, you had enough people to spread around and put your finger in all sorts of pies. And finally, we're still selling stuff. So, Nick?
Yeah, we still got some stickers for sale. If you were at PAX, you might have got your hands on one of them, but we got more for sale, and it's $2 for the new ones, or you can get a pack of 4 stickers, 2 of the Co-op Revolution ones, and 2 of the Don't Face Bosses Alone for $5, and all proceeds go straight to Co-Optimist to help us
go to PAX.
Do what we do. So
yes, you know, $2 is not a lot of money, and these stickers are awesome.
Just click the store link in the on the website.
Yes. Well, I'm sorry to say that brings us to the end of this episode of the Co-opt-cast. Nick, does it feel good to do a regular one again?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Other than the vacuum showing up, no creepy witches showing up?
No. Is that good? Did you get to hear that then?
Yeah.
That was... you know, we all immediately got goosebumps, so we're just kind of like freaked out. And later on, Jim was telling a story about him in like a haunted house and stuff and scary movies. And he did this thing and he's like, I always hate scary movies where they do like, you know, like the violin hit and he does like a little imitation of it. And like a half second later, my email bing goes off laptop making the same thing. And he was like, that's it, I'm out of here.
That's awesome. All right. We are out, and we will talk to you again in 2 weeks.
See ya.
P.S. Leave feedback on iTunes and follow us on Twitter @CoOptimus. Thanks, bye.